All right, welcome everyone on peoplesinternetradio.com. I am Stephen Robertson. This is Cancel the Cabal. As I did make a meme up on Facebook, and I said something about it last week, I do have a very good, great American, I consider anyways. I haven't found out totally about this man, but he is, I think, the founder or one of the founders of NOC Firearms Training, which is No Other Choice. Firearms Training out of St. Louis, Missouri. I want to welcome Kevin Dixie to the show. Welcome, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. How are you?
Very good. Are you the founder or one of the founders?
I'm the sole proprietor of No Other Choice. Yeah, I'm the founder.
Okay, sole founder, sole proprietary. I guess one of the first things I want to ask is, are you former military or is there some other story behind that?
No, not former military. Unfortunately, that's one of the biggest regrets of my life now that I'm far too old to go into the service. No, but I spent roughly 10 years with the St. Louis City Police Department in our prisoner processing division. So I did that for about a decade, did a lot of other advisement, secondary security details, tons of training, all together in law enforcement or associated work, about 14 to 15 years. And then I just decided to stick with the firearms training, but walk away from the field other than that.
Well, that's all fine. I mean, nothing against it, nothing bad about it. So why the former police corrections officer and not still current?
You know, it's one of those things when, you know, working for a police department, you know, it was great when it came to firearms and getting exposure and training and things like that, and understanding the system, how the system works, and what the nasty parts of society are. And, you know, you're doing your good part to make sure that the bad guys are staying away from the good people. At the same time, it's a lot of politics involved. I'm not a person who enjoys a lot of politics. I'm all about, you know, when it comes to standard and even employment, you know, you should be valued off your work. And not who you know, who you rub elbows with, who you're playing golf with. I just couldn't get with the political aspect of it. And then one thing about police departments that I even knew back then is if you decided to stay for too long, at some point you could be used as a pawn. You could be used as a sacrificial lamb because it is ran by politicians. And if they need to save their butt, they would throw you up under the bus. So like, you know what? I'm going to use my brain instead of my brawn here. So I grabbed a couple of degrees. Once I secured my graduate degree, I just decided to do something else and, you know, just get away from it all. But I can still give back to my communities by making sure that I can get them training that they needed to make sure they stay safe and stay away from all the murderers and rapists and drug kingpins and everything that I had to deal with on a regular basis.
Well, that's terrific. How long have you been doing this then?
I've been doing firearms training for roughly 13, 14 years. I've been incorporated as actual business for right around five or six, somewhere up in that ballpark.
I got introduced into guns and weapons probably at a very early age. My mother married her current husband back in 1974, 75, somewhere in there. And I was introduced to guns and pistols and all types of weapons about the age of 8 when I first met my stepdad. I started hunting at the age of 12 or 13, one or the other. I've been around weapons all my life, been around gun safety. He's a very good actual, probably if he wanted to take the testing and the curriculum or whatever it would take, he could probably become a firearms trainer. He's got several thousand yard animal kills, prairie dogs, other animals, over 1,000 yard kills. And, you know, it's, well, I know we're going to get into the firearms debate, which has been very, very prevalent the last decade or so, but, you know, a little bit in a few minutes in here, but, I have a, HK VP9 myself. I have a, Kel-Tec KSG-12, and I also have a Smith & Wesson AR-15, so I'm a big gun advocate and a big Second Amendment advocate.
Right on.
Yeah, well, thank you. Along with yourself, I can see some of the pictures on your Facebook and your website. I see at least an AR and some other weapons.
Oh yeah, I got well, you know, you had me at HKVP9, so that is my go-to. That is my that is the best handgun to me ever. But yeah, I'm a big HK. I guess I got the title HK fanboy, so I'm an HK fanboy. I'll give it that. My everyday carry is a HKBP9SK. My training or combat carry is the HKBP9. It's so, yeah, that's great. But yeah, I own everything from, you know, semi-automatic handguns, revolvers, semi-automatic rifles, shotguns. About the only, you know, the only oddball thing I don't have that I'm going to fix here shortly. I've owned them before, but I always sell them, or AKs. I get them and I'm like, eh, I get rid of them. So then I'm going to snatch me up a couple of good AKs in the next year or so and hold on to them. But yeah, I own not the most guns in the world, but more than the average guy, I would say.
Well, certainly. I think the AK-47 has a bad stigma. It is, I think maybe a lot of people think, oh, AK-47, that's a communist gun. That's a Russian gun. That's a, the guns that the terrorists over in Afghanistan use.
And even if you believe that, that's more reason you should own one and train with it. It's the exact reason I said, you know what? I need to get some of those back. So even if you go with that mentality, first of all, to me, it's just a gun, man. It's just a great design of a firearm. It really is. It's just I'm in love with the AK, you know. I mean, not the AK, the AR. I'm in love with that platform. And having the AK was great, but I also, you know, every gun owner, you kind of go through phases like, do you want a bunch of stuff you're not really training with and shooting, just kind of taking up space in a safe? Or do you want to have everything that you're using? So, you know, right now I got pretty much everything I know I'm going to use and train with, but I got to have the AKs back. And yeah, okay, if Red Dawn does happen and, you know, they all come over and invade the country, you might want to know how to pick that thing up and use it, right? So even more reason.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I did mention that we are live on the network. It is a Irish network, Irish, Scottish, and a UK network. As a matter of fact, it's just past midnight over there. Just past 7 here in the Eastern, just past 6 in Central, where you're at.
But, oh, yeah. You know what? Your audience really out of really ought to YouTube. They suffered as well. That is a video that I did for the Catholic Irish and some of their persecutions in this country. They suffered as well. It's a pretty cool video. You got to check it out on YouTube.
Absolutely, they did. They were some of the first slaves brought over here to the new land, was the Irish and the some of the other European people over there.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I did a little tribute to them. I thought it was pretty cool. I just decided that sometimes, you know, we can all, for different reasons, sometimes, you know, get sucked in a bubble or put in a box of what our outlook is supposed to be and, you know, why we fight for 2A or why we fight for freedom. And, you know, the more we try to tell everybody that this is truly for everybody, sometimes it's good optics to see somebody that looks like me give homage and pay respect to people like the Catholic Irish, because nobody expects that. And when they see it, they're like, what? You mean to tell me you can actually look at this from more than one angle? Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah. The very first time I got introduced to you, I'm not even sure where I, whose page or whose wall I come up on, but there was a video that came up. Obviously, I think it was a YouTube video. I think you were standing with your young daughter and probably young son, and you were talking to both of them about safety and gun control. And I didn't watch the entire thing because I think it was like an hour and 14-minute video. But was that kind of like a podcast that you did, or was that?
The video, now there is a video, Nobody Marched for Us. Now, were we standing up? Was I holding my daughter?
I believe so, yeah.
If I was holding her, I think it's a minute and 14 seconds, not an hour. But that video is Nobody Marched for Us. That's a video that I put out right around, if not on the day of the March for Our Lives in Washington recently. I put that video out to, and you're right, that was the subject matter, but I was recanting an incident where those two children and their mother, my wife, were almost murdered by a gentleman with a handgun.
Yes.
And, you know, I showed up right in time to stop it.
Yes.
And the point of Nobody Marched for Us is that nobody's marching for us. The everyday American people that are getting assaulted, that are using handguns to defend them their lives, and there you are looking at a family, not just some bachelor dude running around, but an entire family where a man with a handgun was going to murder them if dad wasn't there to stop him. So who's marching for us? Who's speaking up for us? Who's giving us a platform to speak out of? So that's that video, Nobody Marched for Us.
Yes, yes, yes. You were talking to your daughter, and you were explaining to her, I believe, that you were going to teach her all of these things to help protect herself, and she was not going to be a victim.
Yeah, we won't have that.
No, I think I think too many people here in America have the wrong mentality that, well, I don't, you know, I try not to get political because I don't like politics myself. I don't. I think both parties are working in a concerted effort to bring us in a bad direction. I've been attacking both parties for over 9 years now, so I don't really have a party anymore. But you know, it seems that the one political party on the left side over here in America has a mentality that government is going to protect you and the police are going to protect you, and it's simply not so.
Yeah, you know, you have to take, I think what people should do, and this is not politically charged at all, you just have to look at the facts. So if you take one of the largest anti-gun people that's on, if you want to call it the left, you know, Democrats, that will be the Clinton family, right? And the Clinton family, Hillary and Bill, started the crime bill. Am I still with you?
Yes, you are. I'm just muted. Okay. I'm just muted. Go ahead.
They started the crime bill. And when you look at the crime bill and you look at the presentation of it, it was something else they stood up and said. So, you know, that's right around the time where Hillary stood up and called urban city kids super predators. All right. So if you just take that and that's the way that you think and you came up with this great crime bill right around, you know, I think that was right after, right before they came up with the 1994 assault weapons ban. When you look at that, you are saying that there are super predators. You call, you know, an entire demographic of people super predators. So even going with that, even as insulting as it was, at the same time, you want people in these environments to live amongst the super predators, as you call them, with no protection, with no way to protect themselves. Or you look at it like you're only allowed to protect yourself in the way I deem necessary. And then my question always is to people like that, well, when was the last time you took any kind of self-defense anything? Oh, well, how can you even chime in on what it takes for somebody to protect themselves? So yeah, I do have a beef when it comes to individuals on one political side trying to strip people of their right to self-protection. The government does not have to protect you. I mean, we talk about that when we look at the Supreme Court case where they ruled the government doesn't have to protect you when a young woman was raped in her apartment in Washington, D.C., and the police took hours to respond. And when they tried to sue them, well, actually, the man came back and I believe raped her other two friends as well. When they tried to sue them, the Supreme Court ruled that they have no responsibility to protect you. So why do you want to strip us of our freedoms and then turn around and trust them to protect us? And then when you look at it from another angle, the police with inner cities in particular and African-Americans, how's that relationship going right now? So what you're trying to tell me is until we work on fixing that relationship, you want people to disarm themselves when they are out loud saying that they can't trust the police to protect them. But you are also the same people that go up and say, no, trust the police. And if they do something bad, we're going to give you more police to protect you. All around, they sound like idiots.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the current debate here is, you know, it's just laughable. I think it's been statistically proven that the average call, it takes 12 minutes for a police to get to a scene. Doesn't matter whether it's at or that could be rural or that could be big city or anywhere. 12 minutes, people can bleed out inside of 3 or 4 minutes. People can mm-hmm. be dead inside of 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, I posted a couple months back. I got some grief about it. I called out the entertainment system. I called out the government and I called out the media. You know, I said something to the effect, when government and the media and the entertainment system stops demonizing gun owners and good people, and until they provide me with my own bodyguards, I won't be giving my weapons up at all.
Yeah, I mean, good for you.
You know, it's maybe go into a little bit of your impression of today's gun debate, gun control debate.
Gun control to me, I understand. So somebody asked me a while ago, when you hear gun control, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? And I say hatred. You have to hate somebody to want them not to protect themselves. And when we look at what's going on now, the climate now is, you know, mass shootings, school shootings in particular, right? And it's unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that there are evil people like that in the world. I think we all agree across the board. However, those incidents are being used and played for political gain, which they should not, because there are ways to protect kids while they're at school. It might not be the most prettiest way. Sure, you can. I agree. You should have. I think my preferred method is to simply put armed guards, school resource officers, well-trained security officers, whatever it may be, put an armed response in the school. And if you want to arm the teachers, I believe that if a teacher wants to be armed, I don't think we should force that on the teachers. But if a teacher wants to be armed and they can do everything and pass local training and all that good stuff, sure, let the teachers be armed. And then if you want to go the extra step, put metal detectors in. And I think that a lot of these affluential areas are barking at those kind of things because they want to keep the status quo. Oh, our areas are just safe. No, you live in an unsafe world. It's just the way it is. When you look at schools in inner cities, there aren't mass shootings there. One of the main reasons is you have to go through a metal detector to go to school, right? So it's simple ways to get that to stop. So I don't like people using that, saying, oh, if you take the ARs away, or you take these semi-automatic, you know, clipazine, magazine, Godzilla things away from people, then all of a sudden the kids are going to be safe. Don't pander and don't try to be coy. That is not the truth. What's going to happen if you take, say, my AR-15 away? The guy who's going to go shoot up the school is still going to do it. If you decide that you're going to take people and put them on a 2-month wait, let's just say, oh, you're going to wait 2 months for a delayed check for we can make sure that everything's okay with you. Okay, now I have a saying, understand things in their complexity, but be able to execute and explain them with simplicity. So we don't have to go into the complex reasons. Let's look at the simple reasons. The idiot that decided to commit the atrocity in a Parkland, he attempted to escape. So he was not suicidal. He attempted to blend in with the other kids and escape the building. So he planned it, right? I think we all can agree. He planned that out. Okay, fine. I'll just wait an additional 2 months to take out to do my plan. What's the big deal? Okay. So instead of planning it for January, I'll plan it for March.
Yeah.
You're not going to stop evil. Evil does not become stopped. And you can't, when they're saying, oh, background checks, this is all we want. No, it's not. It's not all you want. Because if somebody is going to, let's say you buy a firearm when you're 25 years old, who knows what kind of mind frame you're going to be in at 56? How do we know? We don't know.
That's right.
Nobody knows.
That's right.
You know, so you can't legislate that kind of thing. Nobody can. You look at the Vegas shooting. He was what, mid-60s, early-60s, something like that?
Mid-50s.
Okay. He owned several firearms. Yeah, he passed the background. The guy was in his 50s. He had probably been owning guns for quite some time. Okay? So when he decided to do something a lot crazy and evil, there was no stopping it. So I believe, in short, I believe this. There is no legislation of evil. God himself couldn't stop the devil. There is no legislation of evil. Okay? Evil is going to exist. Am I okay with making sure our background checks, the way that they currently are set up, is, appropriately staffed, like to make sure that the agencies have enough staff, they have enough money to make sure that the system stops going down and goes down like once every couple of weeks, stuff like that to make sure it runs fluid. Sure. Am I okay with the basic 4473 check we have now? You go into a gun store, you see a gun you like, you fill it out, you pass a background check, you leave with the firearm. Sure, I don't have a problem with that. Do I think we need to go any further? No. Do I think there are some things we need to actually pull back and give back to the everyday person? Yes. But for people to start playing and pandering about, it's about protecting the children and everybody's going to be safe and we need to get rid of firearms, you're not doing anything to solve the problem. And that's the whole reason I say that it's easier to blame a tool. It's easier to blame that innate object, because once you focus on an object, you can convince people to get rid of the object. It is very hard for people to own up and say, no, we need to get our hands dirty and start fixing our society. Guns, cars, bats, bricks aren't the problem. We are living in a broken society. We've torn down every pillar that good nature societies are built upon, and then we have this cesspool of craziness, and we wonder why people are then losing their minds. Yes. We wonder why people are then going to shoot up schools. And then when you glorify the shooter, you make him to like a urban legend of some sort. What do you think the next one is going to try to do? He's going to try to outdo the one that did it before him. And even when you look at the crazy kid in Texas recently, he did it with a shotgun and a revolver.
Yep.
Right. And according to USA Today, because I understand that they are great gun experts over there. I get it. They know everything about firearms there is to know in the world over at USA Today. They state that he used less than lethal force. So they actually were kind of praising him for using less than lethal force. I wonder, how the people that died feel about that comment, that a shotgun is less lethal than an AR. I wonder how they feel about that. That a semi-automatic handgun is more dangerous than a revolver. I wonder how those people feel about that. So once again, it's not the guns. And in the latest debate, you notice they're not talking about the platform of firearms that he used. They're just talking about a school shooting because now they can't blame the AR, right? So it's silly and it's insulting that adults are playing these mindless games on each other because they don't want to own up and state that as America, as Americans in whole, we have allowed this country to get to a point to where we are breeding these type of people. That's what we need to fix. We don't need to take guns. We don't need to do delayed backgrounds. We don't need to have all these new government restrictions. We need to fix our society. Long answer, but that's how I feel.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I do have a concealed carry in the state of Michigan, and that is, I believe I looked it up, that is good for 37 other states as far as concealed carry. Of course, most of the states are, a lot of them are open carry. I could open carry here in Michigan, or I could concealed carry. There was some talk a while back. I don't believe it passed the Michigan Senate. I think it passed the Michigan House, but not the Senate. They were looking for doing away with the concealed carry and just not having to have a license for concealed carry. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but it doesn't really matter if it does. But you are correct. We have a amoral society. People are going to, if they're not going to get their hands on a pistol or a shotgun or a rifle, they're going to find some other implement to kill someone with.
Yeah. What did the guy in New York use on a bike trail? A truck.
Yeah.
What did the guy in Canada use a couple of months ago? A truck. In Nice, what did he use?
A truck.
A truck.
Yeah.
I mean, Timothy McVeigh used fertilizer, for Christ's sake. They're going to do it. In Austin, everybody wants to overlook what happened in Austin a couple of months ago. Guy randomly planting bombs at folks' homes. And, you know, it's like if somebody's going to commit an atrocity, they're going to do it. Even the kid down in Texas, he also made improvised explosive devices. Boston, bombs, pressure cookers. You know, like we can go on and on and on. You know, the stabbings that occur in this country on a regular basis. We can go on and on and on. So it's not the tool. It's and that's what is frustrating about the debate, that the adults, the people that are running this country, we have control of this country, and we're not even mature enough to sit down and say, okay, you know what? I lost. Right. It's not the tool. We do need to start fixing society. And but they show their bias. And I know we'll probably get into it later, like my program, Aiming for the Truth. That is the perfect way to expose their bias. And I've done very well at that. And it's like, you don't really want to get your hands dirty and fix what's wrong. You just want to say it's easy to blame a tool because it's all about controlling people. Now, once they get rid of the guns, I mean, seriously, everybody's like, oh, that will never happen. There has not been any world power during the time that they were in existence that they didn't think that they were modern, right? Like, you don't go back over to Germany during Hitler's days and he says, oh, we're way behind the times. No, that was a modern society, right? We are living in a modern society. If you disarm people, which is always the first step, if you disarm people, there is a reason for that. And normally it's control. You aren't sitting in your offices really crying over these kids. We all cry tears. I get it, because that is heartbreaking when it happens. But that's not what your driving force is. That's not, because you've been talking about gun control since before that happened. Your driving force is political control. You want to control people. And we don't want to be controlled. And I don't like that, the fact that the adults won't have an open, honest conversation about it. It's infuriating. It really is. And you know, when the politicians, I have this saying, and I mean every single word of it. When you look at what the politicians that want to strip gun rights away, I don't care what side of the aisle they're on, any politician that wants to strip gun rights away, one of the things that they always use, I would say it's about a good 35% of their argument if there's not a school shooting that's recently happened. They try to play the what about them card. And that what about them card is a loose way of saying, what about people in urban environments and the amount of violence that occurs there? And then when we start speaking the truth about why these environments need to be more armed than anybody, I can bring up Tulsa, Oklahoma, East St. Louis, Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri, in the Fairground Park. We can talk about Selma. We can talk about Rosewood. We can talk about the MOVE bombing. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on and on. I can go on forever.
I live 2 hours from Chicago and 4 hours from Detroit. I know all about it.
There you go. So when they start trying to bring that stuff up, I have a saying, and this is when they lose the argument and they won't keep going with me. I am gun control's worst nightmare because I am the inconvenient black truth. Once you understand Exactly. When you're trying to use the weakness of America, the weakness of their knowledge to say, oh, what about these poor people over here? Don't treat these communities like they're wet dogs that need to be petted. No, these are the same intelligent, articulate people that live everywhere else in this country. Some of us just live in crime-ridden areas that are worse. And when we start speaking up about the truth about why urban environments should be armed, you don't like the inconvenient black truth. You don't like talking about the history of this country. And when there were times where, like over in East St. Louis, where it was actually the militia that came and rescued that community of minorities from being assaulted by the National Guard,
yes,
the local police, and the community. Yes. It was the militia that did that. They might pop up in your constitution somewhere. So when we start talking about that kind of truth, they like to run away from it and shut the discussion down because it starts to hurt their agenda.
Well, that's one of the worst things that they could possibly have is whites talking to the blacks. The race war in this country has been a big business for a long, long time. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as that continues, it's only going to get worse.
I think that we should, one way of fixing it, and you know, there is no ultimate way. I'm not a guy who, now I'll say this, and I think everybody can understand this to a degree. You're always going to understand or have an advantage of understanding the areas you grew up in, the people you were around every day, right? That's just natural. You're around them, you kind of understand them a little bit better. However, the way that I feel is that, you know, and it's not even dealing with firearms or politics. It's just like, you know what? I love the skin that I'm in. And to love me is not to hate you. I can appreciate beauty and no matter what color it comes in. I mean, does a woman stop being beautiful because of the shade of her skin? You know? Do people stop being intelligent because of the shade of their skin or the part of the world they were born in? To me personally, we're all beautiful creatures. We're all God's creatures. And I appreciate everybody for who they are. And I think when it comes down, when you break all that down and you get to firearms and freedom, I think that a big advantage that we could have to win this war is to prime up the weapons that we have now that are scaring people that are anti-gun. It shouldn't have to be that way, but hey, when you're fighting war, all is fair, right? In love and war. I believe that movements like mine, movements like Black Guns Matter, you know, those type of movements need to see more light and more exposure and be on more platforms like yours, because the more and more that good Americans know that these platforms exist and we are the people that is very, very hard for the opposition to debate against, well, you need to use us because that's how you win a fight. I mean, if you know that your crude missiles are going to win a fight, you make more crude missiles. It's just the way it works. And that's what we're facing now. And it wins in more than one way. Because when you can see someone who is not the typical former military white guy with a beard and tattoos standing up saying, yeah, America, eating a bunch of bacon and drinking a beer, when you don't have that imagery, it's like, oh, crap. Now, all of a sudden, we have to have a conversation about African-American guy standing, talking to a, like I was just doing a couple of weeks ago. I did a video where you see me standing talking to an atheist Indian, you know, and then I'm talking to white guys. I'm talking to Hispanic people. I'm talking to lesbians, and I'm talking to all kind of gays. Like, we're having these conversations to show people that we're all human, man. But they don't want us to do that, to your point. If the race war is not going on, then they're going to lose a lot of their momentum. And another way we can shut them down is to use the two-way community to show its diversity, to show the different initiatives that are going on. So when they try to attack us, it's like, you make them go back to the drawing board and come up with something different. Because right now, if we don't use the tools that we have, we'll look back in 40 years like, we should have taken advantage of that time in history. If we do take advantage of this time in history, in 40 years, they'll be sitting back trying to figure out how to get around us.
Yes, yes, indeed. I did want to mention, you were talking about something there a few minutes ago, and it occurred to me, I think it was President Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, mm-hmm. He said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I think they are trying to capitalize on these crises. What do you think, what's your opinion why they want to get the guns from Americans' hands?
Me personally, I believe that once you have disarmed people, it's back to their greed and their control. So I believe, if you want to get into like policy, I believe that if they succeed in disarming America, let's say all the guns are taken successfully, right? Let's just say that. They take all the firearms, whether it's through laws or by force.
All 500 million of them?
I'm sorry. It's a lot of guns to take.
All 500 million. Yeah.
If they were to succeed, I believe that their overall agenda is simply controlling people. They're going to want you to work when they want you to work, do what they tell you to do. Your property can be confiscated at any given notice. You can get into a China type situation where you're only allowed to have X amount of kids. I believe that bureaucracy will rule your life. Taxation will be out of control. You will only be able to live in certain areas, go to certain schools. You will be controlled in a way that's going to increase their power levels and their pockets. I believe however or whatever they need, they are going to take full advantage of it and make sure that we are the pawns or the catalyst, if you will, that drives their machine of greed. That's what I believe to be true. And because there's no other reason you want them. There's literally no other reason you want them to stop the killings. Come on, man. We already covered that. You're not going to ever stop killing. We've been killing humans since humans were on this earth. Cain used a rock.
Yes. Yes.
I
posted that last week. Did you notice that?
I'm sorry.
I posted that last week. Cain didn't use an AR. Cain didn't use an AR-15 to kill Abel. He used a rock. Yeah.
Right, man. God, like, you're not going to stop men from doing evil deeds. So I believe that's the thing. They want control. They want power. They're greedy. And they understand that you look at all the laws that politicians always want to pass anyway. You know, what are we going to do once you can't say no?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's actually that sinister, and maybe even a little more sinister than that. You know, there's the conspiracies out there. Well, I think the Georgia Guidestones has this conspiracy out there. It's been there since like 1982 or something like that. They want to depopulate the world. They want to depopulate the 7.5 billion down to at least 2 billion because they think there's too many people on this planet.
Wow, so they want to be Thanos, huh?
Something like that, yes.
It's unfortunate, but well, as long as we keep fighting and we keep talking and we keep getting involved in our political actions and living good lives, then we should make it a very, very impossible task.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, you did say you wanted about 45 minutes, and there is about 10 minutes left. Is there anything you'd like to speak about? Or?
Yeah, I would like to tell everybody about, or your audience, about aiming for the truth and to give an idea of the programs that are out there. So I'm not a person who just talks the talk. I like to walk the walk. So aiming for the truth is exactly that. That program, Aiming for the Truth, we're aiming for the truth around violence. What is truly causing people to be violent? So at this event, we will be on the road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we got Memphis, Tennessee coming up, and obviously back in St. Louis, Missouri. But at this event, we cover certain key areas that I believe from living through these things cause people to be violent. We deal with mental illness. We talk about employment skills, and we get people employed on the spot at the event. We talk about the restructuring and rebuilding of families, teaching dads and giving them resources how to become better fathers and how to have conflict resolution, whether that's dealing with road rage and or dealing with someone you have children with. So you can understand how to be co-parents, for we can rebuild that family cornerstone. So we help the dads get involved back in the kid's life, get along with mom. And at the same time, now we're keeping that child from just being out there and not having structure, not having guidance and discipline, because we're giving dad the tools where he can be back involved in the child's life. And if it's mom that needs the tools, we'll obviously help her out as well to rebuild that family structure back up and get these pillars of society built back. Then we deal with the children directly. We either will bring in a different educational system if you don't feel like your child is really being educated. We're going to bring in a different educational system or even just a tutoring service to get your children the resources they need for they can focus on books and they can focus on being educating the smart kids if the local school district is failing them for whatever reason. And then we'll challenge the parents to be involved, going into PTA meetings, going up to your child's school, checking on them, and things like that. And the entire concept is once we give you those things, those resources, and we have subject matter experts that are there that deal with all those things. So we'll have a tutoring service. We'll have a school district. We'll have employers. We have mental health professionals. We have everything on site. Once we help people build equity back into their life, because we're going to hold you accountable, right? So once you have the tools to build equity into your life, I want you to close your eyes. And this is what we tell people at the event. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to envision just using a few of the resources available to you today and think about the life that you are now going to build. So you don't have to be starving. You don't have to worry about committing violence because you got the resources to lead a good life. Now, do you believe there is anybody that will snatch that life from you? Unanimously, everybody says yes. Now, let's talk about this thing called the Second Amendment. Now that we've invested into your life and we built equity, so you see a life that's worth having, let's simply talk about how you protect it and why that's important. No politics, no gun debates. You built equity into something. Let's talk about the insurance. Let's talk about the protection of it. That is the what aiming for the truth is. And so it kills violence at its source, because if dad is working and involved with his kids, or if mom is working and involved with the kids, not violence. If we got people understanding how to deal with conflict, you're not being violent. If we teach people about mental illness, we can reduce suicide, and you're not being violent. You're dealing, you know how to control your anger and things like that. If you're gainfully employed, some people, there are plenty of men that are 30 years old that don't know how to write a resume, right? You know how embarrassing it is to admit, but if we can get you in there, we can help you out and we can get you employed and start building some self-esteem into yourself, giving you something to fight for. You're not there at 9 o'clock next Wednesday robbing a guy in Walmart's parking lot because you're at work, or you're at your kid's house, or you're out doing something with your children. We also give parents resources to get their kids out of certain environments. So instead of always thinking that they need to go to the local park and play, your kids know about the Boy Scouts. You'll be surprised how many parents don't know the Boy Scouts exist and that their kids can be in them, right? So just exposing them to different things to kind of change the environments they're in. So we do all that to reduce violence. At this event, we pay for public transportation round trip. So if you catch the bus, we reimburse you 100%. If you need childcare, we provide free childcare on site. We also feed you. So there's no reason that anybody shouldn't be able to show up and take advantage of these free resources for you. And at the same time, that makes it different when we're talking about this thing from a methodical standpoint. You know, this is a game of intellect right now. We're trying to win our freedom with intellect. This is a game of brawn. What can we do? And this is what I charge the second community with. I'm a firearms instructor. I am, but I'm much more than that. I'm a human being, and I care about people. So why don't we show a different side where people were saying, oh, the gun community only needs you when they need your votes to keep gun rights, or they don't care about you because their tools only are used to kill you, or whatever the case may be. Well, I'm going to bring in gun companies to sponsor this event so we can change that. So instead of just being another YouTuber, which is nothing's wrong with that, but instead of just being another YouTuber with a gun or a guy running around showing you cool guns, no. It's a game of a method. It's a calculated thing. Let's show people that the gun community, two-way community, pro-freedom community, however you want to title it, cares about you truly, even when you're not buying the product. So instead of having ABC company sponsor it, we brought in companies like Proper, Enforce, HK, recently CMMG, Fiocchi Ammunition, and I'm not trying to forget anybody, Lucid Optics, gun companies that are stepping up to the plate, Duracoat, Midwest Cerakote, that are stepping up to the plate saying, we want to be a part of this because we believe in people healing violence at its core. So even our tools never have to be used for against anybody. That would be awesome. But we also understand that we're trying to fix violence because that's where our problem's at. It's not within guns. It's within people, and we need to heal people. So that this event, that approach to me, and I believe this wholeheartedly, is what we have been missing for the last 40, 50 years with this gun debate going back and forth, because the gun community has never been present until the debate about guns came up. Most people that are in the average communities, every gun is a Glock. Now, I don't care what it looks like.
Yeah.
Every gun is a Glock because they just don't know, right?
Right.
They don't
right.
know. They don't know these companies care. They don't know. So this is a soft way when there is no need. Nobody's trying to get you to buy a handgun or a rifle that day. No, but you're there. And they are showing you, and the banners are flying in the background, these companies are showing you that we believe in corporate social responsibility too, and we believe in no other choice. We believe in what Katie is doing, but we also believe in communities and making sure that we have a face in the community to help you deal with violence and make sure that everybody can do better. And we want you to have jobs. We want you to have great families. We want you to be free. We want you to deal with your mental illness. We want you to do all that. So bringing in the two-way community, bringing in the gun manufacturers, bringing the pro-freedom side to the communities where they can see, no, we care about you. Because that's exactly what, if you want to say, quote unquote, the left, think about how they win. They ride emotional roller coasters into the hearts of people. But they are there. Give them props. They're the school bus drivers. They're the corner store workers. They're the local politicians. And they're telling people every day, guns suck. We care about you. We understand that politically your area hasn't changed and it doesn't look any better and people are still suffering, but we care about you, right? Hug me. Guns are evil. But the gun community is never there, right? When are we ever there to combat that on a regular basis? Well, now we are.
Yeah, look at Chicago. It has the strictest gun laws in America, along with D.C. And, you know, they've been the murder capitals of America for years, both Chicago and D.C.
Yep.
I find it ironic, two ironic points. And then I'd like to talk to you off air, about a minute or so, not very long. I'm not going to keep you. But one ironic point is we mentioned the political left wants you to call 911. They don't want you to protect yourself. They don't want you to pull out your pistol or your shotgun, whatever the case is, whatever you have for protection and protect yourself. They want you to call 911 and call police that are going to bring guns.
Yeah.
Yep. How ironic is that? And the other one escapes me now, but I'll remember here probably after we hang up. But anyways, I do want to thank you, Kevin Dixie, for coming on and sharing your thoughts and talking about NOC. No other choice. No,
I appreciate you having me on, man. It was a great conversation.
Absolutely. I do a lot of traveling. I go through Kansas City sometimes, St. Louis. I thought maybe I could message you sometime when I'm down there and I could meet you. Meet you and your friends.
Absolutely, man. Not a problem.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, thanks, everyone. Thanks, Kevin, again, for coming on. And I'm going to sign off and talk to Kevin off air here. So, everyone, I'll be on Tuesday nights. That's my local time or my regular time. So thanks, everyone, and see you then.